Nice. Perfect.
Awesome.
Good.
So this is the first time that y'all are back in your practice space, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's cool.
Since three months.
Man, yeah. That's a while.
Yeah, it is.
So how's that feeling? I bet it's a great feeling to be back in there.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, we're actually we had a little party yesterday, so I'm not as full of energy as I wanted to be. But the feeling is coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's great. It's nice to get back to a little bit of normalcy.
Yeah, for sure. Step by step, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's dive right in. The first time I listened to the record, it went by really fast, and it's 3 cuts, 1 hour, and with the third cut being 30 minutes, and it's great. I love what you guys are doing. When did you get started as a band?
April 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So recent.
Yeah.
Pretty recent, yeah. Two years ago.
So when it's did right. when did each one of you start playing music?
Ooh.
Together as a band?
No, individually.
We I started with some classical drums. Practice stuff like pre-music school. My father used to be a drummer in some beat rock bands. And so I had a drum kit at my home, and I started pretty early. But with bands that came in the time with school, and then we had some cover bands of I don't know, skate punk rock, stuff like that. And Doom was pretty late, I think, early 20s. I started to listen to stuff and wanted to force a band like this, yeah.
I started playing bass when I was 14 years old. I had no schooling or something, and I taught me everything myself. And started like with death metal stuff. This was my beginning. Was kind of hard to play at first, but I got there pretty fast. And Doom also quite recently for me, like 2-3 years ago, I really started to get into Doom.
Yeah, I started guitar when I was 13, I guess, yeah. And then, yeah, first band was like 14, 15, some grunge punk stuff. And then, when I came to Kiel, it was more like some noise and experimental stuff in the first years. And I actually got into Stoner and Doom pretty late, too. So when I moved to Kiel, I saw Red Fang at the Schaubude, and that was like an initial moment for me. I thought, oh, that kind of music exists, and then it has grown into the slower things. Yeah, it's actually my first Doom band.
Awesome. Yeah, I've seen Red Fang, at least 5 or 6 times, and I've been able to photograph them a couple of times too. And they're a bunch of great guys, really nice, and I love their music videos. They're always they always bring some humor into them and stuff, and just all around a really great band, really great tone. So. Yeah, and y'all's tone is just it's fat and glacial and just it's just like what I was thinking earlier actually today. I was like, when I'm laying in bed and I'm listening to Earthbong, like I feel heavier, like physically heavier.
Push it down.
Yeah, yeah. No, it has a great sound to it. And so what are some of your personal influences that kind of shape the sound of the band?
Uh, we have problems here. What the question again?
Oh, okay. No, well, I was asking, what are you all's personal influences that kind of help shape the sound of Earthbomb? Yeah.
Okay, for me, I think very much sleep, of course.
For all of us, I guess.
For all of us, and Electric Wizard. For the voices I do, it was more like a Weed Eater thing, I think. This was kind of an influence for me, especially for the screaming parts. And the whole growling thing I do is more like, I don't know where I got that from. It's my metal voice, I don't know, this is what I do when I kind of want to sound angry or pissed off.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. It's got, yeah, it has definitely like a sleep vibe, and then kind of brings in like a little bit of death metal, you know, or like atmospheric death metal and stuff underneath it. It's very cool. I've noticed too that, I really got into, well, I got into heavy metal through my parents, not even knowing that it was really kind of heavy metal, you know, with like Black Sabbath and Deep Purple and Led Zeppelin and, you know, and even kind of proto metal stuff like Cream and Jimi Hendrix and all that. And so I grew up listening to that. And then my cousin turned me on to thrash and, you know, turned me on to the Big Four. And then I got into German thrash pretty majorly with Tankard and Sodom and Creator and there's been this kind of, for me on a personal journey, kind of this natural progression of like wanting to see what was even more extreme, to get to more brutal stuff. So then it was, you know, death and then black metal and black and death and, you know, all of these genres. And doom metal, specifically for me, there's like a special place for doom metal in my heart that it's like man, like High on Fire is one of my favorite bands. Matt Pike is as a vocalist is awesome, great guitar player and all this, and they're just a ton of bands that have kind of similar chords that tie all the bands together as a genre and body of work. And everyone has their individual flair on it. And I've noticed too that as I get older, I'm not slowing down, but I'm noticing like the doom metal is, it's just really good to chill out to for me personally. Like how'd y'all come onto it? Like, what are your feelings about doom metal as a genre and wanting to play that kind of music?
Well, it's relaxing in a way, of course, but it has so much intense energy. Like you say, you feel heavier when you listen to it.
Yeah.
You can feel it through your body. It's really a physical experience, I would say.
I think so too. It reminds me of myself because I started with death metal and then black metal and always gotten extremer. But I think doom was also a step above because of the intensity. Even when I hear death metal, which is very fast and aggressive, it's not that intense for me anymore. So I needed something heavier. And doom was that next logical step forward to that. And now we're playing with like noise elements and stuff to make this even, push it even farther.
Yeah, it's definitely about the energy. So every time we play, it's when I don't hit the guitar, then I wait for the next time I have to play, and then it just comes and it's really, really energizing, and you just feel it, and it's the same at concerts. I don't listen to doom so much when I'm not at the rehearsal room. It's more like a thing I really love to play, and when I listen to it, it's also the energy, but it's more about a live thing. It's not so much when I'm at home. I don't listen to doom that much. Yeah, but yeah.
Well, he's alone with that, though.
Well, yeah, one bringing up concerts too. I mean, that's definitely something to where it's like it's a visceral feeling when you feel the music, you know, and a lot of, you know, a lot of guys are putting, you know, not only full stacks in with just a crazy amount of gain, but putting in 415s, 215s, 6x12s, you know, coming up with all these crazy combinations of cabinets and stuff now too, which is becoming popular, which I'm a huge fan of also. I'm wanting to get a 4x15 just to feel my guts vibrate. So to get you all sound, what, since I brought that up, what are you guys playing on?
I play in the Orange Crush Pro 120 head and a Laney, I think it's a GH 100 top through an Orange 212 cap and an old, what is it? Hughes and Hefner. Kettner? I just mixed up with Hugh Hefner, sorry. Hughes and Kettner, 412. So it's, like 612 in total, the amount of speakers.
Well, I play a Basement 500, a Fender Basement 500, and FMC. For the moment. My reel amp broke down like a year ago, and I never fixed it till now. So I have to play with this, but it's okay. It's more like, I have to deal with this now, and I have to save money up to get me a new amp that will meet my needs.
And how about drums?
That's not even my drum set. That's true. I bought it from a friend, so I can play it, and it's cool enough for me. But I'm also dreaming of a big Doom set, like 24 bass drum, kick drum, and just everything in big.
Yeah,
like it has to be on a drum set. Yeah,
very cool. What are the guitar and bass tuned to?
C standard.
I play my 5-string bass in standard tuning, like with the B string low going up normally, because it's, I don't need to change my tuning, it confuses me, and I can it's far easier for me to think like what he's playing down 2 parts or high 2 parts than to change my whole bass. It's a bit weird, but it's easier for me though.
It works, yeah. Well, so with the album Bong Rights, how long did it take you to record it?
A weekend, I guess.
1 weekend?
Two or 3 days. 2 days of just recording.
Yeah.
2 days just recording, 1 day for vocals.
I think. Some overlay stuff.
But 2.5 days, really, yeah.
So a weekend.
Yeah, and we're rehearsing and recording in a huge bunker. So no daylight, no fresh air, just, I don't know, 8 hours, 10 hours sitting here and trying to bring this album on.
We played it live, so we played the tracks live, made some breaks at some points, and then put it together, and then all the overdubs and all that was pretty intense.
But mostly we played everything live. I think this is kind of important because I think you hear it on the album. You can really
organic sound.
You can really hear the organic sound in this. It's not like I have 20 tracks and I put one guitar track here and one guitar track there and everything is recorded single. So it's just... just better from the all-around sound, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm a big fan of recording live and having everyone in the same room. You know, there's an energy exchange between everyone that's just, it's totally different. It's it's as close to, you know, recording at a concert.
Yeah.
But you have a little more control, you know, of getting a better sound and stuff, and it makes a big difference. I'm not personally a big fan of everything being perfect on a record.
Yeah,
and I don't like to play on click.
Yeah. Metronomes are. We have problems with metronomes. We're not that. We're tight. When we play, we play as tight as we can on Tommy. it's kind of his tempo, and we need to all come together on this. On this thing, and it's kind of hard sometimes. he has to be tight, and it's kind of his thing to do.
And we also like to just keep some things in the records. So when we recorded the first album, One Earth, One Bomb, we hadn't really finished the last song, last song, and we just played the whole thing through, and it was the best take we ever got on this one. And there was so much noise at the end, and then we just thought, yeah, let's keep it like this. This is the best we got, and this is real. So we could just keep it like that. And the whole sound was just really in that take.
That's cool. That's very cool. Well, so yeah. Well, so what's y'all's creative process? How do you go about coming up with the riff and a jam? Like, it sounds like a tight jam through the record, you know, and I mean that as a compliment. I like the organic feeling of all of it. So is that just kind of something that y'all kind of flow with normally, or is it, or does someone come up with a riff, or?
Yeah, it's a bit mixed, I guess. On the first album, it was more like that I had some riffs and brought them here, and we just put them together. And on the second album, it's more like we have really been writing songs together. And
real teamwork.
Yeah, it was really teamwork. So one came up with the riff, and then we just jammed on it and thought where which parts fit well together and where we could. Add more stuff and move into the next part.
Well, normally we have a song like 12 minutes long at some point, and then we start rewriting stuff. This doesn't work, this works. But we also want to have this jammy feeling, like it needs to flow like it's supposed to be a jam or something like this. But this comes really naturally. It's not something we think it needs to be this. I think it's always our natural feeling of the sound that it has to be like this. If it's not fit for that, I think we throw it out or we change it in some kind of way.
Often it's about keep things playing and repetition. Just play the part not 4 times but 8 times or 12 times, and then you get the vibe of the part, and then you can think from there on what would fit maybe to add or to go where to go next.
And you have to sleep. Sometimes you have to sleep a few days and then listen to it again because your feelings change a lot. And you think, okay, this is too fast, or we have too few repetitions and it needs to repeat even more to make the feeling of the next part even better or something like this. And this is something that grows on you. It's not...
I think Monk's Blood was half a year.
Well, Monk's Blood is kind of half a year from production. Like the writing process alone is half a year. Maybe a bit longer even.
Same with Gotham High. We
Gotham High
worked
was
so much on it.
Yeah, well, and that's I like what you said about, you know, it kind of grows on you. And that makes a lot of sense. Like, because I was also thinking too, to where it's like, well, how do you end it? Like, how do you know when you're done?
That's pretty hard to know. There's sometimes a problem. We want to go further, and we have the feeling like, we can do this, that, and okay, we went like 15 minutes in. do we want to go further? Do we want to push this to 20 minutes or even further than that? But sometimes you just need to pull the plug before it gets too convoluted or something.
Yeah.
Okay, 50 minutes for this is enough.
Yeah. It happens to be a long song or not. When it feels like, okay, that's not boring, we don't have to push it further because it's just happened. In the writing process, we're recognizing, okay, that's 20 minutes, but it don't feel like 20 minutes, like you say, about the album. It's like a rush. It don't feel like 60 minutes. Then it's good. Yeah, then it's organic, grown. Perfect.
And yeah, sometimes you just have to stop, like Sammy just said, and just stop at some point and leave it there and keep the next ideas you have in mind just for new songs, because sometimes it just doesn't make sense to put more and more ideas in one song, then you just can go with the ideas you have for this song, just take them and make another song where you can all the ideas you have put into.
Yeah, now that makes sense. It's very cool. Yeah, and exactly like I said at the beginning, that it doesn't feel like an hour. It's just all of a sudden it goes by and it's like, oh, like I can put that on again. Well, so with the content of the lyrics and stuff, I really like how you have involved like kind of ritual and the occult and things like that, in along with, of course, you know, like marijuana so how is it, how do you come up with the concepts? Is it just things that, again, that y'all kind of just bounce back and forth, what kind of grows from that?
I think we started with, like, we're fans of sleep and stuff, and this is kind of a subgenre of doom, like this whole weed doom thing and dope doom, like we call it now and stuff. And I wanted to go with that lyrically. Like, I don't write my lyrics particularly concentrated or something like this for this band, because I think it's more important that I hit the vibe of my screams and stuff, and I mostly just scream bullshit around like la 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 and check out, okay, this fits and this not, and then I write text on top to it. And I always wanted the theme like occult stuff, because I'm a huge fan of Lovecraftian things. I like the whole cult thing about that, and I also do a lot of drugs, and so I put that into that too, and thought it would be funny to combine this, and it's not out of the genre, and it's still funny for me to write. It's more like a fun thing, I think. It's like, I like drug cult things. It's fun for me to read or see the movies about that and stuff. So it was just a logical conclusion for me to do this.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, so it becomes it's a super heavy riff and great drums and fat bass and everything, and from a listener's perspective, it's brutal. And also, I agree, you know, to where it's like there is like a kind of a tongue-in-cheek with the subject matter that we kind of all take that perspective with, you know, that are into this subgenre as well, so.
Yeah. I think so too, yeah.
Well, so how... Is Germany in a point right now with the pandemic? Like, where, since you're able to meet now, is it, are you all still on some sort of lockdown or stay at home?
No. Well, we have stay at home policy, like please stay at home if you don't need to go out, but not real lockdown. We don't have something like that. Mostly you have to wear masks to go shopping. And when I'm working, I need to wear a mask at work.
Try to keep the distance.
No bars right now. Not really. Today I saw a few bars open, but I don't know how legally this is right
now.
Yeah,
it's just not the same thing. It's just like you can sit in the bar with maybe 5 or 10 people in a place that would fit 50 or 80 people normally. So there are glass things between the tables and all that stuff. It's not the same feeling. But for the bars, it's a great thing. So they can open up a bit and it slightly gets back to normal, but it's at the moment, it's not really normality as it felt.
It's not real normality, but it's not that, for me personally, it wasn't that big of a change because I'm not a guy who goes clubbing or something. So I'm go to work, I go home, and I go to work and I go home mostly. So it's, the biggest change for me was really the rehearsals were canceled and I had nothing to do except that now. But since Germany wasn't hit that bad from the whole thing, so it's more like we're returning to normalcy a bit faster maybe now, maybe too fast. It's not sure, right? There's much discussion.
No one really knows. I was curious about if there have been any talks of touring coming up.
I'm very sorry about that, but no real touring for this year, I think.
We had one show. Hopefully it will happen end of October, like a Halloween party. Denmark. Yeah, we'll see if this will happen or not.
Yeah.
That's the problem right now. If you have if you have a concert or something like this, it's not sure if it happens or not. And nobody really likes this to have just the chance of a concert or not, or a chance to make money or not for the people who do these things.
Right.
So they open a bar, maybe it works, or they have to shut down. Everything they planned went to nothing. And so nothing's happening right now. I think this year will not be very good for concerts or anything.
Only concerts that happen right now are like car concerts that are sponsored by major labels and the car industry. So it's just, and it's just, it's really bullshit. And no small clubs and no underground music, and that just doesn't happen this year.
Yeah.
Good work.
As far as we know now.
Yeah.
So hopefully soon.
We need to continue doing stuff like this, you know, and kicking up live streams and stuff like that. That's why we're doing these interviews too, is to try to spread the word and have people know about, you know, underground music and underground genres that people maybe get really into, you know, and then all of a sudden they become a fan. But
we really appreciate that.
We're really honored to get asked for an transatlantic interview. The first interview we're giving at all.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So that's really, really nice.
Well, very cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, well, I'm a fan of y'all's music, and yeah, like I said, I want to do what I can to spread the word and have people appreciate it as well.
That's a really, really good thing to do, I think. Yeah.
Keep doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, even after the pandemic, we're gonna keep doing this. So, because it's turned into a pretty cool thing, being able to talk to all these people all around the world, you know. And what I've really noticed when I'm talking with everyone is that it's like it doesn't really matter where we are. It's like, it's the music is what's really important and stuff, and we're all pretty much into the same things. It's interesting. It's neat to see.
Yes.
Yeah, I've watched into some of the interviews you did before, and I got the same impression. So that everyone is just into the music, and it's no matter if you're in Denmark or in the USA or wherever, it's just like, you can still talk about the same things, that you have something in common, and yeah, that's really nice to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's the actual situation is making this more, even more visible than before.
Yeah, well, I hope so. You know, I've not had the opportunity to visit Europe, and I have strong ties in Europe and stuff, and the metal scene in Europe is second to none. I mean, it's something really special, and the fans over in your neck of the woods are some of the most loyal, and it's like, I've always wanted to go to Wacken and check that out, and their festivals.
Wacken is like 50 kilometers away from here. It's just behind the corner. It was my whole youth there.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. So, you know, I've been fortunate to be in the music scene and be around a lot of bands and play music and do a little bit of touring and photograph bands and stuff but when the pandemic is over, I'm definitely coming over to hang out and check out the whole metal scene, because like I said, y'all are next level. It's great.
Thank you. That's perfect.
Yeah, we were hoping to get to America someday. Right now it doesn't seem possible, but yeah.
For bong metal, it's like you have to go to the USA. There's a lot of a really cool scene. I think we sell a lot of our tapes to the USA.
Yeah,
many tapes going there. Yeah.
Awesome.
And we talked to or were chatting with Hibernation from Canada, and we had started some small plans to play some shows together, but yeah.
Right now,
we don't know when or how.
All on ice.
Yet. But we'd love to come to the USA and play there for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, y'all have a place to crash when you come through here. So.
Nice.